بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the fourth principle from the treatise Al-Usul Al-Sitta, the six fundamental principles authored by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah. And in the previous three principles, we went through the first principle, which is Ikhlasu Dini Lillahi Wahdahu La Sharika Lah, sincerity in religion for the sake of Allah who has no partners. Al Aslu Thani, the second principle, Amrullahi Bil Ijtima'i Fi Din Wa Naha Anit Tafarruqi Fi, the command of Allah to be united in the religion and His forbiddance from being disunited. And then the third principle, أَنَّ مِنْ تَمَامِ الْإِجْتِمَاعِ السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَ لِمَنْ تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْنَا, from the perfection and completion of unity is hearing and obeying the one who has authority over us. And in this fourth principle, the author rahimullah, he said, بَيَانُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْعُلَمَاءِ وَالْفِقْهِ وَالْفُقَهَاءِ وَبَيَانِ مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِهِمْ وَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ, a clarification regarding knowledge and the scholars, i.e. the people of knowledge, and fiqh, and fuqaha, وَبَيَانِ مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِهِمْ وَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ, and a clarification of those people who try to resemble the scholars and the fuqaha, and they are not from them. So this principle, brothers and sisters, is a very important principle, because many people today, they are confused regarding it. So many people are confused regarding knowledge, and many people are confused regarding the people of knowledge. Who are the ulama? Who should we take knowledge from? And also fiqh and the fuqaha. And this is especially important when a person who wasn't practicing Islam, he then starts practicing Islam. So somebody was on the street, he doesn't know anything about Islam, he has some goodness in him, he wants to practice Islam. So when he then starts praying, who does he take from? Which scholars, which is the correct path, what is the correct aqidah, who should he learn from? There's so many people who are appearing on the internet, on YouTube, there's so many books. So who are the scholars, who are the people of knowledge that he should take from? And the same can also be said regarding a non-Muslim who came to Islam. So from experience with dealing with the new Muslims, one of the first difficulties and the first issues that they come across is, now that I've entered into Islam, what do I do next? There's different sects, different groups, different mosques, all are calling me to their way. How do I know which one is the correct sect and who are the correct people of knowledge? And these are two different blessings. So one blessing is being guided to Islam, and the other blessing is being guided within Islam, meaning to the Sunnah. And Mujahid rahimullah, and he was from the Tabi'een, from the Salaf, he said, لَا أَدْرِي أَيَّا نِعْمَتَيْنِ عَلَيَّ أَعْظَمْ, I don't know which of the two blessings are better upon me. أَنْ هَدَانِي اللَّهِ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, that Allah guided me to Islam, أَوْ عَافَانِي مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَهْوَى, or that He saved me from the people of desires. And the people of desires meaning the people of innovation. So Mujahid rahimullah and others from the Salaf, they said, I don't know which of these two blessings is greater on me. That Allah saved me from kufr and guided me to Islam, or that Allah saved me from innovations and guided me to the Sunnah. There are two different blessings. Being guided to Islam and then being guided to the Sunnah within Al-Islam. And that's why the Salaf amongst them are those who said that from one of the glad tidings of a young person is that Allah guides him to a person of the Sunnah, who he takes knowledge from and he learns from,
as opposed to being misguided to the people of innovation. And why is it important that we know what is knowledge and who the scholars are? Because this knowledge that we're taking is regarding the Akhirah. So it isn't a knowledge which is restricted to the dunya, rather this is something which is going to affect our Akhirah. So if a person starts taking knowledge from the people of innovation and the people of shirk, then he's going to be misguided. And if a person takes knowledge from the people of the sunnah, then bi-idhnillah he is going to be guided. And that's why one of the famous tabi'een, and tabi'een means somebody who took knowledge from the Sahaba, somebody who learned from the Sahaba, one of the students of the Sahaba. And his name is Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Sirin al-Basri, rahimahullah. And he was from the major tabi'een. He narrated hadith from Anas ibn Malik and other than him. And he died 110 Hijri in al-Basra. He said a famous statement that the scholars often mention. He said, "Inna hadha al-ilm deen." Now this knowledge that you're seeking, it is the religion. فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. So look carefully to the one who you are taking your religion from. Look carefully to the one who you are taking your knowledge from. So for example, when it comes to medicine, do we go to any person who speaks about medicine, or do we only go to the qualified doctor? We only go to the qualified doctor. If we want to fix our car, we find the best garage and the best mechanic who's experienced and qualified, and we take our car to him. When it comes to universities, people try to go to the best university. They go and check different universities, which one has a good reputation, which one is known for academia, which one is known for research, which one is a red brick university, and so on and so forth. And these things, medicine and cars and universities, this is just knowledge of the dunya, comes and goes. So how about the knowledge of the Akhirah? We have to be more careful who we are taking it from. So we shouldn't take the knowledge of the religion from any person who speaks. Anybody who speaks a little bit of Arabic, he is now a scholar. Or anybody who now appears on YouTube and he's eloquent in the way that he speaks, take knowledge from him. Or somebody, he said a few words, a video was produced, some sounds and nasheed are played in the background. It sounds nice, it's emotional. So we start taking knowledge from him. This isn't correct. We have to know what is knowledge and who we are taking it from. And we have to differentiate between the scholars, the people of knowledge, and those who pretend to have knowledge and they do not have any knowledge. And this is what this principle is about. He said, بَيَانُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْعُلَمَى. So the fourth principle is regarding knowledge and al-ulama, the people of knowledge. Which knowledge is he talking about? Ilmu sharia, the knowledge of the sharia. How do we know what is the knowledge of the sharia, or the correct knowledge of the sharia? That which is based upon tawheed and sunnah. So the knowledge which is based upon tawheed and sunnah and calls to tawheed and sunnah, this is the knowledge which we are talking about. As for stories and entertainment and joking in the name of Islam, this is not the correct knowledge. And he said, "Wal ulama," and also the people of knowledge. We should know who the people of knowledge are. And the people of knowledge are those people who teach the people and they cultivate the people upon the Quran and the Sunnah, not the opinions of the people. So you find some people, and when they teach, the majority of that which they speak about is the opinions of people. That this sheikh said this, and this sheikh said this, and Sheikh Fulan said this. These are just opinions. But the true scholars are those people who teach based upon the Quran and Sunnah. Allah said this, and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is what he said. Not just the opinions of people. وَالْفِقْهِ وَالْفُقَهَا. And also an explanation of fiqh and fuqaha, the people of fiqh. And here the author, rahimullah, when he says fiqh, he means knowledge. So he isn't talking about the specific science of fiqh, but rather general knowledge. Because fiqh has two meanings. The general meaning of fiqh is knowledge. And the more specific meaning of fiqh is regarding the physical acts of worship which we perform, like salah and wudu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqqihu fid din." Whoever Allah wants goodness for, he gives him fiqh of the religion, meaning knowledge of the religion. And the hadith is in Sahih Muslim. So we need to know what is knowledge. And I said knowledge, i.e. the knowledge of the Sharia, which is Tawheed and Sunnah, and it calls to it. And we need to know the ulama who are going to teach us this knowledge. And they are the ulama who call to the Quran and the Sunnah upon the understanding of the Salaf and the Sahaba. And they don't call to the opinions of the people. Wal-fiqh wal-fuqaha. And also fiqh and the scholars of fiqh. And we should also know man tashabbaha bihim wa laysa minhum. Those people who try to resemble the scholars, but they are not the scholars. And this is something which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prophesied that it will occur during the end of times. That ignorance will become widespread, knowledge will become little, and yet there will be more and more people pretending to be scholars, speaking about Al-Islam without any knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned a time towards Yawm al-Qiyamah in which there will be little taqwa and little trust and less manners, less knowledge, more ignorance. He said, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ سَنَوَاتٌ خِدَّاعَاتٌ. That there will come a time upon the people which will be years of deception. يُصَدَّقُ فِيهَا الْكَاذِبُ. The one who lies will be believed. وَيُكَذَّبُ فِيهَا الصَّادِقُ. And the one who speaks the truth will not be believed. وَيُؤْتَمَنُ فِيهَا الْخَائِنُ. And the one who is treacherous will be trusted. وَيُخَوَّنُ فِيهَا الْأَمِينُ. And the one who is trustworthy will be considered to be treacherous. Then he said, وَيَنْطِقُ فِيهَا الرُّوَيْبِضَ. And then during this time, the رُوَيْبِضَ, they will speak. So the companions, they said, Ya Rasulullah, وَمَنْ الرُّوَيْبِضَ. O Messenger of Allah, who are the رُوَيْبِضَ? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, الرَّجُلْ التَّافِهِ يَتَكَلَّمُ فِي أُمُورِ الْعَامَّةِ. A person who is a nobody, doesn't have any knowledge, any status, any authority, he's lost himself. الرَّجُلْ التَّافِهِ. And at the same time, he speaks about the major issues, the issues which are going to affect the ummah. So you've got a person, he's a nobody. He's not known for any knowledge. He's not known for any scholarly authority. Nobody knows him. Tomorrow he appears on the internet, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, starts giving fatawa about jihad and making takfir upon the people. These are the ruwaybida. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about. And in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that when this time comes, اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا, that people will then take ignorant people to be their leaders, the heads of the community, the leaders of the masajid, the people of knowledge. It will in reality be رؤوس جهال, the heads of ignorance. فسئلوا وأفتوا. And then they will be asked. So when somebody has a question to ask and he can't find the real scholars, who will he go to? These رويبضة. Or we'll go to these ru'us juhal, asking them questions, and they will reply and give the fatawa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. They will be misguided themselves, and they will misguide other people. So this is why it's important to differentiate between the correct knowledge and the false knowledge. So we have to understand that قال الله, قال الرسول, قال الصحابة, this is the real knowledge. قَالَ فُلَان إِبْنُ فُلَان. And this story, and this promo, and this nasheed, this is not knowledge. And also between the scholars and the pretenders of knowledge. Those people who call to the Qur'an and the Sunnah upon the understanding of the Salaf, and those who pretend to have knowledge because they can just speak well, or they know a little bit of Arabic, or they have a good media team around them which pushes them. And how many are those people? And even though we say that we should know who the scholars are and we should follow the scholars, at the same time, Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they do not consider it correct for people to blindly follow other people. So this isn't the call of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. The call of the scholars is learn, seek knowledge. Don't be happy with blindly following other people upon misguidance. Neither do Ahl Sunnah hold people up so high and so sacred that if they speak with falsehood, we're still going to accept what they say. If our imam, if our sheikh, if our madhab, even if it goes against a clear hadith, well, we're not going to go against our imam or our madhab or what our masjid is upon. So this isn't the call of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah. So we follow the truth and we don't follow the people. And we don't accept the truth because of the people. Meaning, if this person has this opinion, we're going to accept it, whether it's the truth or not. And if another person had the same opinion, we wouldn't accept it. Why? Because that's one person and that's another person. No, Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah are not like this. Rather, we have to follow the truth wherever we find the truth. We don't link it to personalities and individuals. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he has a famous saying. He said, لا يعرف الحق بالرجال وإنما يعرف الرجال بالحق فعرف الحق وعرف أهله. He said, the truth isn't known based upon the people. Rather, people are known based upon the truth. So, the truth isn't known because Sheikh Fulan and Sheikh Fulan, he said it. No. Rather, Sheikh Fulan is known by the truth. If he speaks with the truth, then we follow him. If he doesn't speak with the truth, then we're not going to follow him. But we respect the people of truth. And that's why Ali radiallahu anhu said, فَعْرِفْ الْحَقِّ وَعْرِفْ أَهْلَهُ. So know the truth and then know the people of truth. Know knowledge and know the people of knowledge. Because the people of the knowledge are the one who are going to teach it to us. So Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah, he said, الْأَصْلُ الرَّابِعِ, the fourth principle, بَيَانُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْعُلَمَاءِ, knowing knowledge and the scholars, the people of knowledge, وَالْفِقْهِ وَالْفُقَهَا, وَبَيَانِ مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِهِمْ وَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ, and a clarification of those people who resemble them, but they are not from them. Then he said, وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ هَذَا الْأَصَلْ فِي أَوَّلِ سُورَةِ الْبَقَرَةِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified this principle, meaning who are the scholars? What are the descriptions and the attributes of the scholars? Allah clarified this principle to us in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, starting with his saying, Ya Bani Israel, O Bani Israel. And the ayah is in Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah of the Quran, ayah number 40. In these ayat, six or seven ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reminds Bani Israel, the Israelites, about some of the blessings which he blessed them with. And the scholars have deduced from these ayat the attributes or the characteristics which the people of knowledge should be upon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون. O Bani Israel, remember my ni'mah which I bestowed upon you. وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي, and fulfill the covenant, fulfill the trust. So this is a first attribute of the scholars, that the trust which has been put upon their shoulders, that they should convey the religion of Allah, they fulfill this trust. They are sincere, they are truthful, and they call the people to Al-Islam. This is the first attribute. Then he said, وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ, and have fear of me. So this is the second characteristic and attribute of the true scholars, that they have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this fear, it keeps them away from the haram and they fulfill their obligations. So now if you have a person and he takes Islam lightly and he jokes about Islam, is he fulfilling the trust which Allah has placed upon him? No. So he's not from the people of knowledge. We don't take knowledge from this person. Or you have another person and he doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have some people, and they call to Islam through music, through movies, through cartoons and things like this. This is not knowledge, because these people are not fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have another person, and he's known for taking wealth of people, and using women, and writing ta'weed for the people, and doing magic for the people, and all sorts of shirk. Is this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Another person says that I have reached such a status of iman and wilaya, I'm such a great wali of Allah, I don't need to pray anymore. One amongst them says that the angel on the right, he continues writing, but the angel on the left, he stopped writing for me. This is how great a wali I am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them, they mention that our awliya, they were so great that they didn't need to go do hajj anymore. Rather, the Kaaba would come and do tawaf of them. It's mentioned in some of the books. This is how great our awliya are. So is this the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Therefore, these are not the people of knowledge that we should take from. Then Allah says, وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ and have iman in that which we have revealed down to you. So, the people of knowledge, they are people of iman and they accept the revelation. So now we have a group of people, person who pretends to have knowledge and he changes the meaning of the ayat to fit his own logic. Changes the meaning of the ahadith to fit his own understanding or his own desires. Is this somebody who we should be taking knowledge from? No. Because Allah said, وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ have knowledge, وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ and have iman on that which I revealed to you, testifying to that which came before you. As an example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he informed us that there are certain signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah. So Dajjal, who is a person who will cause great fitna upon the earth, he will come. And Isa alayhi salam will descend. And the sun will rise from the west and set in the east. So now you have a person who comes and he says, no, the Dajjal is not a real person, it's a system. And then he says, the meaning of the sun rising from the west is the light of Islam is started coming from the west and not in the east anymore. Is this a person of knowledge? No. Because he's trying to change the ayat of Allah. Instead of believing in them as Allah has revealed them, he's trying to change the ayat of Allah and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fit his own logic or his own desires. وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ and do not be the first to disbelieve in them. Then Allah says, another sign of the people of knowledge, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا and do not purchase or do not exchange my ayat for a cheap price. I those people who sell their religion. So whoever is the highest bidder, whichever TV channel is going to pay the most, they'll go with that person. And then they will give fatawa based upon whoever is paying more. Or those people who are going to teach the people based on that which is most popular and that which is going to bring the most money in, as opposed to teaching the people tawheed and sunnah and serious knowledge. وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ And also then Allah says, and have taqwa of me. So the people of knowledge are people of taqwa. So somebody now who is known for sins, like said, this person who says, not only he doesn't pray, but then he says the prayer isn't wajib upon me. I'm such a scholar, such a wali, I don't need to pray anymore. And my sins have been forgiven. And goes to multiple women. And other things like this. Is this a person of taqwa? Is this somebody who we should be taking knowledge of? No. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ And do not conceal or mix the truth with falsehood. And also you find some people like this, that you ask them a question and they don't want to displease this crowd, neither do they want to displease this crowd, so they won't give you a clear answer. They'll give you some of the truth, some of the falsehood in the most diplomatic way which they can, because they don't want to displease or they don't want to anger anybody else. These aren't the people of at-taqwa. This isn't that you should be taking knowledge from. Rather, the people of knowledge, they give you clear answers. This is halal or this is haram. This is sunnah, this is bid'ah. This is what Allah said. This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقِّ And also, do not hide the truth. Don't conceal the truth. So, the people of knowledge, who we should be taking knowledge from, they are not those people who conceal the truth. Rather, the Salaf, they used to say that one of the indicators of Ahl Sunnah is that they mention the evidences, whether it is for them or against them. Mentioning the evidences. Not that when something is in your favor, you mention it. And when something is not in your favor, then you try to conceal it. This isn't the way of Ahlul Sunnah, the way of the scholars. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. And establish the prayers. And give a zakah. And perform ruku' with those people who perform ruku'. So again, these are indicators of the people of knowledge, that they are people of ibadah. People of fasting, people of zakah, people of praying, people of righteous deeds, people of the jama'ah. So as for a person is it known for praying, or zakah, or taqwa, or good deeds, does none of this. He's never seen in the masjid. This person isn't somebody who should be taken knowledge from. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do you order the people with righteousness and then you forget yourselves? وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. And you recite the book. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you not understand? So this is another sign or indicator of the people of knowledge, another characteristic. That the people of knowledge are not those people who command everybody else upon goodness, and yet they themselves are the worst of the people. So they tell people not to swear, and yet they are the first to swear. And you see some of them. Some of them, if you look at the YouTube videos and the satire channels, their tongues are filthy. So when they want to speak about a group, they don't speak with justice. So if they speak about, for example, the Wahhabis, they'll use the worst names and swears which they can possibly use. So these are not the people of knowledge. Allah says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help through a sabr and a salah, prayer, worship of Allah. So again, the people of knowledge, who we should take knowledge from, they are people of patience. They are not people who are hasty, quick to make rulings on people, or lose hope. So if only two or three people attend the lessons, I say, I'm not teaching anymore, nobody's coming to my lessons. Why is nobody coming to the lessons? This isn't the people of knowledge. The people of knowledge, they're people of patience. They teach the people for years after years after years, regardless of how popular they are or whether they are not popular. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And this is something which is difficult except the people of khushu'. So again, one of the characteristics of the scholars is that they are people of khushu', people of humility, people of taqwa, people of modesty, people of humility and humbleness. They are not people who are arrogant and proud, and they belittle the people, they reject the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. Those people who are certain that they will meet their Lord, وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and that they will return back to Him. So this is another characteristics of the ulama who we should follow, that they are people who work for the akhirah. Their main ambition isn't the ambition of the dunya, but it is the ambition of the akhirah. So when they teach the people, they teach the people what will benefit them in the akhirah, like iman and tawheed, ibadah, and things like this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ends this series of ayat, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. O Bani Israel, remember the blessing which I have bestowed upon you. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And that I have made you better, I have favored you upon the rest of creation. So the point is that these ayat, Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 40 to ayah number 47, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions some of the characteristics by which He has favored the people of knowledge. And this is how we can know who the people of knowledge are. People of taqwa, people of righteous actions, people of implementing the sunnah themselves, people who have iman in that which Allah has revealed, how Allah has revealed it, and the other things which we have mentioned. And then the author, rahimullah, he says, وَيَزِيدُهُ وُضُوحًا مَا صَرَّحَتْ بِهِ السُّنَّةِ فِي هَذَا مِنَ الْكَلَامِ الْكَثِيرِ الْبَيِّنِ الْوَاضِحِ لِلْعَامِ الْبَلِيدِ. And that this matter regarding knowledge and the people of knowledge and fiqh and the people of fiqh, this is made even more clear if we look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how many ahadith have come to us regarding the virtue of knowledge and the virtue of studying and the virtue of the people of knowledge And how many ahadith have come to us in dispraise of ignorance and dispraise of innovations? How many ahadith are there about following the truth and following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And how many ahadith from the sunnah have come which dispraise the blind following of people upon falsehood? How many hadith have come telling us to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have iman in him? And how many ahadith have come which mention the punishment of those people who forget Allah and do not seek knowledge? Many, many ahadith. The sunnah is full of ahadith which push us to seek knowledge. So despite this clarity in the message, that even the most basic common person, ignorant person, can understand, then the author said, ثُمَّ صَارَ هَذَا أَغْرَبَ الْأَشْيَاءَ. Yet despite all of this, all of these ayat in the Quran, and all of these ahadith which tell us about knowledge and the people of knowledge, this then becomes something which is very, very strange. وَصَارَ الْعِلْمُ وَالْفِقْهُ هُوَ الْبِدَعَ وَالضَّلَالَاتِ. So knowledge and fiqh, what has it become? Bid'ah and misguidance. So nowadays, if a person speaks with Tawheed and speaks with Sunnah, if you ask for evidences, if you dare to ask somebody, what is the evidence in the Quran for this? This is bad manners. This is strange. What do you think you're doing? You're asking for evidences, but carry upon misguidance and mentioning stories, and you're the most popular of people. So if you look at some of the videos, the most popular, in inverted commas, scholars or sheikhs are those who tell stories. And the one who has the least amount of view might be a person of knowledge, a person of taqwa, who's teaching people the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is something which is strange. The author says that the Quran is clear with regards to this message. The Sunnah is clear with regards to this message. And then how strange is it that the people are turning this upside down? So the one who calls to knowledge, his speech doesn't attract the people. There's not many numbers with him, so we're not going to call him to our masjid. And there's somebody who can speak well, make people laugh, and has no knowledge with him, we need to invite him to our masjid, because he's going to bring the money in. He's going to bring the crowd in. So this is never the yardstick of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah when they weigh up who should they invite and who should they not invite. He said, وَخِيَارُ مَا عِنْدَهُمْ لَبْسِ الْحَقِّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And he said, the best that those people have with them is mixing the truth with falsehood. This is the best which they have. The worst which they have is shirk and kufr and bid'ah and misguidance. And the best which they have is mentioning some truth and mentioning some falsehood and mixing it up. وَصَارَ الْعِلْمُ الَّذِي فَرَّضَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْخَلْقِ وَمَدَحَهُ. And as for the knowledge which Allah obligated upon the people, and He praises this knowledge, لَا يَتَفَوَّهُ بِهِ إِلَّا زِنْدِيقٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونَ. Then the only person who speaks with this true knowledge is either somebody who is zindiq or majnoon, somebody who is insane, somebody who is clearly misguided. So as I mentioned, a person who comes and teaches people the tawheed, teaches people the sunnah, mentions evidences, this is the crazy person. This is the one who doesn't know anything. Why? Because he's going against our culture. A person who comes and he mixes the truth with falsehood and tries to please everybody, never gives a straight answer, the majority of his teachings is stories and laughter, then this is the true scholar. He said, وَصَارَ مَنْ أَنْكَرَهُ وَعَادَاهُ وَجَدَّ فِي التَّحْذِيرِ عَنْهُ وَالنَّهِي عَنْهُ هُوَ الْفَقِيهِ الْعَالِمِ. And the one who forbids this true knowledge and shows animosity towards it and authors in warning against it, he is the scholar and he is the faqih. So this is the situation of many of the people today, that people who don't have knowledge but they are crowd pleasers, they consider to be scholars. And people who do have knowledge, but because they don't please the crowd, because they don't bring the numbers in, then we're going to ignore them, even though Allah told us who the scholars are, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us who the scholars are. So the important thing from this lesson is that firstly, when we take knowledge, we should only take knowledge from scholars who are known and trustworthy and truthful. And that we don't take knowledge from every new personality who has appeared. Every year a new personality appears, so we start taking knowledge from that person. We start taking fatawa from that person.
especially when it comes to the major matters which are affecting the ummah. So for example, when it comes to issues of jihad, when it comes to issues of Islam and kufr and matters like this, then we take from the recognized ulama. We don't take from anybody and everybody who speaks a little bit of Arabic. Also, the people that we invite to our masajid to teach, to give lectures, should be those people who are qualified. Those people who have learned. And they themselves have learned from the scholars. And not just because somebody has a degree, or somebody went away to study, or somebody speaks well, and he's going to bring the crowd in, who's famous on YouTube. No, this isn't the yardstick. The yardstick is, has this person studied? Did he study with the scholars? What is he known for? Is he known for Tawheed? Is he known for defending the Sunnah? This is the person that is invited. Also, before we invite somebody and before we take knowledge from somebody, we should know their aqeedah and we should know their manhaj. So it shouldn't be the case that we're going to bring everybody until you can tell us what's wrong with this person. No. Bring people who you know who are upon the Quran and the Sunnah. And the Khawarij, they were people of ibadah and they were the memorizers of the Quran. And yet this wasn't enough for them to be saved from deviation. They were people of worship and they were people of hifz. They were the memorizers of the Quran. So the one who killed Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, his name was Abdurrahman ibn Muljam. And he was from the Qurra, from the memorizers of the Quran. But he had no understanding. He was just a memorizer. He memorized the Quran without understanding. And so he ended up killing a Sahabi because he didn't understand that which he had memorized. And then finally, if a person, like let's say a young brother now, let's say you're confused, you've just started practicing, there's different sheikhs who are being promoted, who do we take from? And we've got two sheikhs and they're saying the opposite thing. Who should we take from? Then as a general principle, take from the great imams who came before us who have passed away. A general principle. So for example now, just in our time today, contemporary scholars, Sheikh Ibn Baz, a Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, a Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. Does anybody from Ahlul Sunnah disagree about these three scholars? Nobody. All of the scholars today, they agree upon the scholarly authority of these three scholars. So if now you're in a time, I don't know which sheikhs to take from, okay, take from them three. Their books are there, their fatawa are there, their lectures are there. And you don't have to take from anybody else. Take from these three scholars. And this is the advice I always give to brothers who ask me, which scholar should we take from now? There's so many different scholars, so many different sheikhs. Some of them are saying opposing things. Who do we take from? Take from these three great scholars who have died. And then of course, those who are greater than them, who came before them. And this is a general principle which was mentioned by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said, "Man kana minkum mustannan falyastannu biman qad mat." Whoever from amongst you wants to follow a path, then follow the path of those who have already died. فَإِنَّ الْحَيِّ لَا تُؤْمَنْ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. Because the living person is never safe from al-fitna. So you might have a person of knowledge today, but because he's still being faced by fitna, tomorrow he is misguided. But the one who has passed away, khalas, his book has been closed. So you know what is for him and you know what is against him. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimullah, his works, his fatawa, they are preserved now. They're not going to change because he has passed away and he has gone to his Lord. So if you're going to follow somebody and you're confused, follow the scholars who have passed by. And also, brothers, as an advice, try to cultivate yourself to reading. Don't rely, when it comes to knowledge, on YouTube videos and just listening to audios, although there's much benefit in videos, there's much benefit in audios, but also reading. So for example, one of the most beneficial things which you can read are fatawa. The most beneficial thing you can read. And the good thing with fatawa is that you can stop anywhere and start anywhere and you still benefit. So sometimes when you have a book, which is let's say 3 or 4 volumes, you have to read that book from the beginning to the end. If you open the book in the middle, you're not going to understand. It's not going to make sense because you've missed everything from the beginning. And if you read only 3 or 4 pages, you might not understand because there's a whole chapter which is connected to each other. The fatawa are different. You could literally open the book on any page, and because it's question and answer, you can benefit from that.
So, for example, the fatawa of a Sheikh Ibn Baz, a Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, and the other major scholars, in English they're published. I think there's one called Fatawa Islamiyah, I think, which is a number of volumes. So every day have a little portion which you are reading. So in the morning, or for example before you go to bed, read even just two or three pages every single day. And the good thing with these fatawa is that they cover aqeedah, they cover iman, they cover tahara, salah, zakah, psalm. All of these chapters are covered. And these are things which you need in your life every single day. So don't rely on videos and audio only, but cultivate yourself upon reading. And especially the fatawa, and especially the fatawa of the major scholars like the imams of our time, Sheikh Ibn Baz and Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen and the other scholars. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.